Hi, I'm Spencer.
And I'm Blake.
And you're about to get jumped.
Welcome to episode 115 of Blake and Spencer Get Jumped, a weekly podcast where we watch the anime so you don't have to.
But you should still totally watch the anime.
This week on Get Jumped, we're watching Naruto 132 through 135, where there are always logs to stand on, hands make the best wings, and our longest running series to date comes to an end, but only kind of.
And by only kind of, he means we are going to be making some sweeping decisions in the near future. So prepare for trouble.
Make it double?
Yeah, that's right.
We're not covering Pokemon.
Let's jump in.
Can you imagine if we covered the Pokemon anime, we would only be able to cover that. it's over 1,000 episodes.
4 billion episodes.
Pretty good margin. It might be
it's way over 9,000.
Like somebody out there who knows might be like, it's over 4,000, you pleb.
Calling you a pleb. Classic.
Anyways, stop calling me plebs, listeners. This has never happened.
Okay.
Also, I didn't have not been up on my anime news, so I don't have anything.
I have some awesome things to go over real quick.
Thank God.
the first of which is the watching a different episode of an anime Monday through Friday. I'm going to be doing this as part of Anime, which a lot of other people are doing on Twitter. Yeah, nailed it. And also I have some fantastic suggestions from David Mon. He reached out and he suggested, as part of my suggestion of what I was going to be covering, I finally decided on what the names of what I would be covering day to day during the week are. If you have more suggestions on these, I have this will be coming out on Monday. But as the week rolls on, I'm going to be covering these ones that David mentioned because I think they're fantastic. I also I might be doing one on Saturday, which like Slice of Life Saturday. But I haven't completely decided yet.
But that was my favorite. So I checked in on you on Twitter maybe earlier this week. I've said a few times on the show, I'm trying to get into Twitter and it's mostly not working, but I have gotten into the habit of pulling up Twitter every day. So I made it that far. And I did look at you posted a poll or you posted the list of like the day's titles or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then somebody, you posted like a Monday through Friday and then somebody commented on it to suggest a Saturday. And in my mind, I was like, I feel like this was like a 5 day on, 2 day off thing. And the person just suggested that you do the same thing on one of your days off, but whatever.
No, I mean, I completely agree with other people that I should get more versed inside of my learning of random anime that's outside of the shonen bubble. But the first thing that I wanted to go over is the names of the days that I'm going to be covering. So the first one is Mecha Monday, Terror Tuesday, Wacky Wednesday, Tragic Thursday, and Fantasy Friday. The suggestions that I have from David that I'm going to be covering this week on Monday, I'm going to be watching Gun X Sword, and I don't care if the X is not supposed to be said. I'm saying it anyways. Refer to every Hunter X Hunter episode we've ever covered. Tuesday, he didn't have a suggestion, but I already wanted to watch Parasite the Last Maxim, so I'm going to be covering that on Tuesday. And by the way, how I'm doing these is I'm watching the very first episode of each one of them, and then giving my quick breakdown of thoughts from the very first episode. And then if I do not have a vote for another one by the next week, I will continue watching it until somebody tells me to stop or I run out of episodes. So,
would you entertain like votes to continue in lieu of votes for another episode?
Oh yeah, man.
How are you doing it?
If anybody wants to like go ahead and throw in to vote on this, I'm just going to be posting a lot about each one of the different things that I'm going to be covering.
I've already got two suggestions for you.
Okay, great. Well, this week I already have my covering. So it's again going to be Gun X Sword on Monday. On Tuesday, I'm going to be watching Parasite. on Wednesday, The Disastrous Life of Saki K, which I'm very excited about. I looked this up because I've never heard about it, and I was just like, ooh, this is interesting. Thursday,
what is it?
You'll find out. I'm going to be covering it.
Oh, okay. We don't spoil it.
Yeah. Thursday is going to be Anohana. I've never heard of that before, but I'm excited.
I have heard of it, actually.
And then on Friday is called Houseki no Kuni. I've also been warned that there is CG, but it is CG on purpose. And I'm going to throw it out there that, like, if you've listened to the show, you know how I feel about CG. It's not good.
In anime.
Yeah, CG in anime has been one of the big thorns in my side. But as this cursed object that I have picked up, this list has suggested, if you make this suggestion, I will fit it in. And the way that it is going to be working is by submission order. So if somebody sends that in, the first one gets added onto the list, and then I'm just going to continue working through them week to week, and I will change them up if more people want to switch them up. So we might need to change up the rules week to week eventually, but at this time, this is how it works.
I have three suggestions.
Oh, God, stop.
One, if you're looking for another S to fill out your week, I think the obvious choice is Sports Sunday.
Oh, okay. That's a good idea.
And then Clannad After Story, or Clannad After Story, should go on the Tragedy Day. Holy shit, that's a sad show. And then Run With the Wind is a show that I'm watching based on Mother's Basement's approval, and that's probably Slice of Life, also sports. So, you know, put those on your list. Also, you said something really interesting, and I wanted to have a quick discussion because this episode, or these episodes we're covering today, are mostly fighting, and so we're not going to have as much to say in them.
True.
So I don't want to cut you off too much or move on too quickly, but if you want to pivot to a related subject, just kind of a quick discussion, I am into that.
Sure. The only other thing that I wanted to mention on here is that one of the people suggested Slice of Life Saturday, and one of the ones they mentioned was Barakamon. And I've heard that I should watch this a couple of times from people who just love slice of life anime. So I definitely hear you.
Is Barakamon what President Obama evolves into? Barack digivolve too.
Oh my God. Anyways.
So I am right.
That's all I had to say on this. Continue.
So you kind of mentioned part of this project is a desire to branch out from shonen anime, which listeners to our show will know is our primary interest in anime. We tend not to look at most other series that are outside of the shonen genre. And so I was kind of wondering if there are any shows that you remember watching and having a strong memories or reactions to that were not shonen, or that played in shonen tropes as like a side part of a focus on a lot different genre.
I think the closest one is just going to be a super weird one, which was Bobo, which is one of the weirdest wacky animes that I've ever watched. I'm pretty sure it may fall underneath the shonen fight category, but it's
definitely...
They
published it in Shonen Jump for a while.
It is...
probably in Japan for its whole run, but definitely in America.
Yeah, but it is, more than anything else, it is a parody of shonen. It is specifically making fun of the way that it works. And as somebody who has now watched some JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, I'm fairly positive as well that there are some really stark contrasts between it and JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, but there are also more similarities than some people might be comfortable with. Just saying.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've seen Boogie Pop Phantom was a horror anime I watched a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
Which I believe has some new episodes coming out around now or recently, not under the title of Boogie Pop Phantom, but Boogie Pop something.
Yeah.
And, also, It made me think of Cardcaptor Sakura, which was a favorite of mine growing up, but I watched the like original Kids WB version as a kid, which was a heavily edited version. The Cardcaptor Sakura is about 72 episodes, and the American version is, I think, 35 episodes, because they literally just cut some of them and pieced other ones together to turn it into a shonen anime. And it's actually a slice of life anime with action sequences at the end of every episode.
Yeah. So I remember watching a little bit of Cardcaptor Sakura, but I watched only the American version of it. So
it is good. There is a new dub, which is pretty good. I have some issues with it, but it's pretty well done. That's on Crunchyroll. And I don't know if you can watch the Japanese on Crunchyroll also. I think you probably can, but I switched to the dub for ease of access. But they've got, they redubbed it recently, like 2014 or something like that. And then, of course, there was also a sequel series that came out shortly thereafter, which I don't know too much about. I think it was a little more action-y, and I think it was relatively well-received, but not considered to be, like, amazing or anything.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I'm definitely interested. And
it's pretty good. I would say that I tend to get bored with slice of life stuff, and maybe that's just my assumption and I don't actually have that much exposure, but I think Cardcaptor Sakura is just damn charming, and it feels like an almost like fictionalized retelling of like a documentary style look at like Japanese children in the 90s, because they just do stuff that feels like very, very like low stakes and very natural for like young kids in I think middle school, maybe elementary school. And then, you know, there's also a magical mystery that needs to end usually in a fight.
Yeah.
Kind of roped in there, but the episodes focus mostly on like, we're going to the toy store today and we're gonna pick out stuffed animals.
I'm going to the toy store today. Something's weird there,
but we're mostly going to talk about how we like stuffed animals.
And inside of the Mall of Americas, there's two Build-A-Bear workshops.
Yeah, it's like NPR if suddenly magical shenanigans needed to be resolved in the last, you know, 5% of the episode of NPR that you're listening to.
Yeah, we'll turn this into an NPR podcast, and I'll get really close to the microphone and then do a lot of vocal fry.
This is Terry Gross. This is Fresh Air.
Fresh Air with Terry Gross. Are you whispering?
Well, they are. Because I am. No, that's Parks and Recreation.
I love that show so much.
Oh, this is terrible.
Oh, yeah. Well, they are lesbians. anyways. So the in other random anime news, I started watching a new anime, which is super good. And I have legitimately thought about introducing this as one of the anime that we cover like week to week as it's coming out, because it is fantastic. That anime is called Tower of God.
It is. That looks good.
So good. And it's one of those anime that is sort of breaking through the barrier of Japanese kind of lockdown on what is turned into a high budget animated show in the style of anime. The last time I can think that there was a breakthrough like this with a show that had a ton of push behind it and acclaim with something like Avatar The Last Airbender. But if you don't know, Tower of God actually started as a web cartoon, or a webtoon, I think is how they were calling it. But it's kind of like a manga on the internet, and it comes out of South Korea. So a lot of people were not completely caught up with this, and a lot of people were not aware of it as it was coming out because it wasn't being released in something like a wide release, like a Shonen Jump or any other of the large Japanese releases in Japan or in the United States, because a lot of people are getting their manga, you know, directly from the IV of Shonen Jump in the United States.
Yeah, it's also interesting to note, like you said, that it is not a Japanese production.
Correct.
Which I know that there, I don't have the definition of anime in front of me, but I would say generally I think of anime as that anime style that is kind of centered on, you know, Japanese anime production. But something like Avatar: The Last Airbender and The Legend of Korra is debatably anime because it's really leaning into that stylistic and trope territory.
For sure.
And this, as a South Korean product, some people who really want to define anime specifically as Japanese product might disagree that it is anime, but I think it's really interesting. I would consider it an anime. I think it's cool to see anime being made by other people,
mm-hmm.
or I guess other cultures, and sort of fitting into that anime pantheon really well. I love that. It's also noteworthy because this was accompanied by some really big news recently, which is that Crunchyroll, who is really well known for providing localization and streaming to anime, it's kind of the big anime streaming platform, and maybe outside of Japan. I don't know how it works in Japan, but definitely over here in the States and in a couple of other anglicized areas of the world, the Crunchyroll platform is kind of the number one anime platform, and Tower of God is one of, I want to say, like six original shows that they announced.
Mm-hmm.
Which we did talk about on our show some time ago, but if you missed it or have forgotten, basically bankrolling the creation of these shows, and they will be Crunchyroll originals instead of licensing the shows from a studio that made them independent of Crunchyroll. So it's a big change. It was big news from Crunchyroll, and yeah, Tower of God seems like a big hit.
Yeah. And then the last one, which is a big piece of news that came out this week, and a lot of people will be kind of frustrated by this, is that there are two competing pieces of news that came out this week. One of them was that the Cowboy Bebop Netflix series was on track to be released on its same release date. And then the other news that came out was because of the coronavirus, it has been suspended indefinitely. So there are some very big pieces of information that came out this week. And what's the most frustrating about it, and I would love to hear people on Twitter that are talking about this, is that I want to know if there's any credible sources that are rolling out this information, because every time I start like digging into it further, it just kind of goes into that sort of nebulous, like somebody believes that it may have happened. And that's one of the most frustrating things that's happened so far, with the news cycle, when with the coronavirus kind of affecting it, even, you know, it affects people because obviously some people are getting misinformation about super important things that affect their livelihood. There are other important things to people who love different media sources that are also getting put out false information. So
yeah,
two things. One, I want to hear if somebody has a credible source about either one of these, because inquiring minds need to know, myself included. Number two, if you are one of those people that just start putting out fake news about anime that is coming out this year because other shows have also had the same issue coming up, stop. Because, like, if you don't know what you're talking about, please, for the love of God, stop messing with my emotions.
I will say, I think in the before times, suspended indefinitely was code for canceled.
Yes.
And now, I know last week, in the prior week, I covered the Digimon reboot, and last week's news was that it had been suspended indefinitely, but that came with the clarification that the indefinite suspicion, it was indefinite in the perspective that it did not have a definite end date, which is technically what indefinite means, but you know, it's often used to say that there is no end date to insinuate that there will not be an end date to the suspension. Nowadays, I know Digimon is on the indefinite suspension, and they explicitly said that that was because they can't go to the studio because of the virus. And once things are clear, they will be back in the studio and they will finish the series. So I suspect that if the indefinite suspension news is correct, that it's one of those indefinite suspensions, because I can't imagine Netflix paying that much money. I don't know how much they paid, but I'm assuming that an IP like Cowboy Bebop is costly. And I can't imagine them just dropping it. Also, the cast is kind of a big deal, so they're probably expensive.
Yeah, and I know that I know that the actual thing that pushed back the original filming was they started to do preliminary filming last year, and it had to stop late in the year. And the reason why was because John Cho got hurt. Yeah. He got hurt on set, and it was really, really big news. Because of that, it had to be pushed back a couple of months to start working on it again. But because this, you know, the virus news came out, people had to basically stop working in close proximity to each other. It brings up the question of, like, are these actors going to start working in close proximity with each other anytime soon? Or is this entire year of filming for shows that should come out later on this year, if post-production works at the same speed, may just be a wash, which is a really interesting way to look at how media works, because a lot of people are just like, well, stuff is coming out right now, so it's fine. The problem is not the stuff that is coming out now, because most of the stuff that's coming out now, post-production takes a very long time. Sometimes initial filming on a project can take as little as 1 month to 2 months to film an entire season of a show. And then post takes between 6 and 8 months. And then you have the media release schedule. And then you're also dealing with other release schedules. Netflix is slowly rolling out stuff that they filmed last year or the year before that, because they don't want to upstage themselves, because they want to give people enough kind of rope to keep on coming in and getting things. So they're obviously just going to slowly roll out those things. It's the same reason why you have, you know, people confused why nothing comes out during the middle of the summer that's a good movie. And it's just because everybody knows that, you know, you have to release in these different pockets to actually make money off of the movie. And if you want to make all of your money back, you need to release within this schedule. It's weird politics that goes on with that, but I'm just telling you now, next year might be kind of a void of interesting stuff that is put out, or it might give us some really, really interestingly shot projects.
Yeah, there's
ones definitely that are either super intimate or like, I would love to know if they're working on like a completely digital worked anime, where it's just like, you know, all of the different voice actors are recording from home studios, all of the different animators are working through something like a Zoom chat, or just sending a, you know, their information back and forth between each other. I would love to know about this. Let me know if anybody knows of anything like that happening.
Yeah, there's definitely been speculation that there will be something of an animation boom in the coronavirus, I don't want to say fallout because that has negative connotations, but in the falling action of the coronavirus pandemic, it's been speculated that there will be more animation than usual, because animation has the potential of being worked on remotely and then kind of, you know, cobbled together in a way that, you know, shooting scenes with someone else in person can't really happen right now. It'll be interesting to see. And, you know, it might change depending on how long this thing goes. Right now, a lot of states in America are easing restrictions and, in my opinion, doing so way too early and risking a sudden resurgence. And so hopefully I'm super wrong about that, but you know, be super careful out there and make sure you're paying attention to the most credible and least biased sources that you can, which will usually be doctors. And, you know, just be mindful. I would say there's a good risk that this could kind of have a smaller second boom if people open up and kind of drop their precautions too quickly. There's also been a lot of agreement in the scientific community that a resurgence in the fall is relatively likely given the history of other similar viruses. So, you know, depending on when this whole thing kind of goes away and how much time before it potentially comes back, you could see production schedules resuming successfully, or you could get, you know, three more episodes of Digimon before another hiatus.
It all comes back to Digimon.
Always.
With that being said, we have some episodes to cover. So we need to go ahead and jump in. Before we get started on these, though, we have a very big thing that is coming up inside of our show's history, which is one of our long-running shows is coming to the end of its first part. That being said, we are covering Shippuden.
Yeah.
Those random people that have already started to write in on, because I've had three or four different asks to be like, when are you going to put up the poll for what's going to replace for Naruto? We're not going to stop covering Naruto.
Yeah.
We're just going to start covering Shippuden. And with that being said, when we start Shippuden, that might be a big change that's happening with the podcast. Stay tuned.
Yeah, I will say, I think Spencer and I always intended, or at least believed, that we would continue with Shippuden seamlessly from Naruto, which follows with the manga, because in the manga, there is no Shippuden. It's all just Naruto. There's just a time skip. They just renamed it for the anime for ease of access. But Boruto is not the same thing. Once we finish Shippuden, we will not automatically continue with Boruto. It's my understanding, we've had several people reach out to tell us that they want us to continue with Naruto.
Yeah.
And
people actively worried that we're not going to be covering any more Naruto after this episode that we're
recording. It is also easily our most popular show, so we'd really be shooting ourselves in the foot to stop covering it. So for a lot of reasons, we will keep going, but I would say number one reason for Spencer and I is that we always intended to keep going, and we would like to.
Yes, because Naruto's good. Shippuden arguably is better.
Yeah, I actually was planning out the first Naruto Shippuden episodes the other day, and I got real pumped up, and I think I put like 6 episodes on there for her first Shippuden coverage, because I was like, yeah, well, I don't want to leave in the middle of this big event. I want to like cover it, so I'm pretty jazzed. Don't know.
He's so jazzed. He's using words like jazzed.
There is, this is jumping the gun a little bit. We'll get into our Naruto coverage in a second, but I will say that Shippuden has filler arcs that we will be skipping, but it also has folded in filler in the middle of an arc, or where like an episode is like 50% filler and 50% real. And I don't know how we're going to handle those. Like that whole thing where Rock Lee is fighting whatever it is that he fights in that first arc. Do you remember that? That's not in the manga, and it feels like filler, and it is. And so we'll figure that out. But, you know.
Didn't happen. It never happened.
All right, you ready to do our previously on? Or not you. I will do
it. Oh, yeah.
I've been listening to our old episodes. When you would do the previously on, it was hilarious.
I can certainly do it this week if you really want
me to. I doubt it was hilarious for all the wrong reasons, but it was funny.
Okay. Anyways, all right. Let's go ahead and jump in. Previously on Naruto.
We're good.
I said previously on Naruto.
I was just so excited. Naruto is a story about a world of ninjas. They are, of course, anime ninjas, so they wear bright colors and they do things like breathe fire at their enemies. But they are ninjas, at least nominally. Our main character is where the show gets its name. He is a kid named Naruto. He is a ninja in training. He started off the series as a sort of mess up at everything he would do. He didn't pick things up very quickly and tended really to just trail behind all of his peers. Throughout the course of the series, he has gotten a couple of cool tricks up his sleeve. He has grown a little bit. He's gotten a little more proficient, and he has actually become very strong, at least relative to other people in his age bracket. And he also has something of an ace up his sleeve. Naruto has a giant demon fox living inside of his body. It was put there when he was a baby because the village was attacked by the demon fox, and the only way they could think to get rid of it was to seal it inside of something. And if I'm remembering correctly, that something needed to be a person because of reasons. So it's Naruto, and he was orphaned in that attack and grew up without a family and with the whole village knowing that he had this demon inside of him, but not telling him because of some ill-advised public policy. Naruto, of course, has found out about this since now. He has had the seal weakened so that the fox's chakra, which is pretty much endless and is very powerful, can influence him. He can pull on it, although that is pretty new, and he doesn't have a lot of conscious control over that. So Naruto, as an orphan, as an outcast in the village, he grew up as sort of the class clown of the entire village. And that was because everybody shunned him and he craved attention. Then, as part of his ninja training, when he graduated from the Ninja Academy, they get put onto these three-man teams. And Naruto was put on a team with a girl named Sakura and a guy named Sasuke. Sakura, Naruto had a crush on her. She doesn't have a ton going on, and she's not in a lot of these episodes. So mostly Naruto had a crush on her. She had a crush on Sasuke. Those things have sort of been smoothed out by them being teammates, and so they're kind of there, but kind of mostly ignored. And they've grown close by working together. Sasuke is kind of Naruto's opposite as far as proficiency. Everything comes to him very naturally. He picks things up very quickly. He tends to be atypically skilled and atypically strong for his age. He also inherited something from his family. It wasn't a demon that was sealed inside of his body, but it is something called a Kekkei Genkai, which is an inheritable trait that cannot be learned. And that is called the Sharingan Eye. The Sharingan Eye is a special eye mutation, essentially, that allows you to see people's moves and manipulate their minds in ways that give you a huge leg up in battle. So Sasuke has been really skilled from the beginning. His initial relationship with Naruto was adversarial, but they have become kind of friendly rivals over their time training together. Also, Sasuke was worlds ahead of Naruto in skill. Now Naruto is somewhere around Sasuke's skill level, to the point that Sasuke has gone from kind of scoffing at Naruto to being actually interested in the idea of fighting him. The way that they are similar is that Sasuke is also an orphan. His entire family was killed by his older brother, who murdered everybody but him, told his brother to hate him and seek revenge on him someday, and then peaced out of the village. And Sasuke has had a big ass chip on his shoulder ever since then. That chip on his shoulder led to him kind of thinking about maybe looking for quick fixes on becoming stronger. And there is a villain called Orochimaru who took advantage of that and gave him something called a curse seal. This curse seal allows him to activate a higher level of power and even transform his body. But he has not been trained in how to use it yet and has been warned that it can be dangerous if you don't know how to properly use it. So Sasuke has decided to leave the village and go to Orochimaru so that he can learn how to use this thing and become super strong and take the revenge that he's put his whole life toward. So Sasuke is leaving. That's a big no-no in the ninja world because you will carry all of the jutsu that you've learned with you. And so Naruto and a group of his friends were dispatched to get Sasuke back. All of the friends have peeled off for fights of their own, leaving Naruto to face off against Sasuke on his own. They faced off in our last episode of Naruto coverage and kind of started to fight a little bit, but mostly just talked and remembered things. And this time they're going to start fighting for real, which I think is all the information we need leading into episode 132.
Okay. Episode 132 is for a friend. This is an episode that starts to lead into the real crazy fight scenes that are going to be happening in the next couple of episodes. As we mentioned, we are going to be covering episode 132 through 135. I will make a suggestion for this, Blake, that there are really two things happening inside of this. One of them is Naruto versus Sasuke, and we can go through this fight blow by blow. But first, we need to talk about the side story, which is not super interesting in comparison to what is happening in the A story, which is Kakashi running through the forest with a bunch of dogs.
Yeah, it's not so much a story as it is a plot point to set up what happens after the fight. But yeah, Kakashi yes. is Naruto and Sasuke's teacher, and he finds out that Sasuke left and Naruto went after him, and he is upset.
Yeah, so originally Kakashi's going to find out that they're getting into a fight, and he has received a mission briefing telling him that he needs to go on a different mission, but he's like, no, I'm going to do this, and I'll send these dogs out to go find out where they are. And then we get this monumentally important fight. While that's happening, we just keep on cutting back to Kakashi just running through the forest yeah. with a couple of dogs.
There is no progress. So, like, he is... We understand that he's getting closer, but if we didn't see him, we could also understand that. Like, it's just there to break up the fight. He also, before Correct. He leaves, Tsunade, who is ninja president, is like, you have a different mission. That's why Kakashi's upset because they sent children on this mission, which is fairly important. And Tsunade's like, well, the village was attacked. All of the stronger ninja are busy making sure that we don't get attacked by people who figure out that we are weak right now. And you know that. And Kakashi's like, well, you need to let me go after them. And she's like, no, you have this other thing to do. And he's like, okay, fine, I'll do that. But first I need to run an errand real quick. Just like, it's so transparent that he's definitely going to go after these kids. And Tsunade doesn't say anything.
Yeah, I know. He's just like, oh, I mean, sorry, I've got a flat tire. Let me go deal with this real quick. I'll be gone for like 3 days.
He does see okay. Sakura at some point too, and reassure her that he'll get them back. But Sakura's part in this is also pretty minimal, which is why I didn't talk about her very much in the intro. So
yeah, it doesn't matter.
Moving on.
Okay, so let's get into the fight that we've all been waiting for. So. It's going to start out real back and forth. Sasuke is going to say some super hurtful things, and Naruto is going to be like, I don't care, you're mean, I love you anyways.
You are an awful person and my best friend. It's like John Mulaney when he's like talking about his wife, and she's like, don't say I'm a bitch, and don't say you hate me. And he's like, I would never say that. You're a bitch and I love you more than anything.
He's also just like, the bar is so much lower than I thought it was.
Yeah, and Naruto and Sasuke, they are friends because we've seen them bond and we've seen them work together. But what we've never seen is them hang out or have a friendly yeah. exchange. Like, they're yes. friends in the way that that coworker that you get along with fine at work but have never hung out with outside of work and have no particular desire to hang out with outside of work are friends. And
but you both won Employee of the Month, like, so bad.
In this episode, it's really important that they are best friends, because from a outside of universe narrative standpoint, we need to believe that Naruto would go to these lengths and care about why. And so it's important that Naruto perceives Sasuke as his best friend because he doesn't want his best friend to leave. And like, mm-hmm. sure, Sasuke perceiving Naruto as his best friend is a harder pill to swallow, and is also mostly tied up to an in-universe explanation of how to power up his Sharingan Eye, which is to kill your best friend, which is more or less the goal of this fight for him.
Yeah. Okay, so this is going to be the first part of the fight. The first part of the fight is going to be Naruto getting absolutely curb stomped. He is not a match for Sasuke when they begin fighting. He is going to get knocked down by a fire jutsu, and then he's going to get stabbed
You're
in
never
the face.
Keep him down.
Yeah, he's going to get stabbed in the face by a throwing knife, a kunai. He's then going to be burned to death as one of shadow clones when he's attached to a rock. Naruto's going to die in some pretty horrific ways over and over again, but it turns out they're all shadow clones, so don't worry about it.
It's a trick we've seen before, but it still works mostly.
Yeah. So after Sasuke catches Naruto and he completely owns him and tells him that he doesn't know anything about who he is and what he's come from. He doesn't even know what it's like to have a family, so he doesn't know what he lost.
Yeah, this was just
speaking real brutal to say as
well. Speaking of being reminded of things, this is like, that's why your mother's in a wheelchair to me. Which is yeah. Donald Glover's stand up about how kids say really horrible things to each other that nobody should ever say ever. And a lot of Sasuke's dialogue in this really reminded me of that, where he's just like, he is talking mad shit about how Naruto and him might both be orphans, but Naruto never had a family in the first place, so his orphanness is worse.
Yeah. Yeah, he wants to really rub in the fact that he's not as big of an orphan as he
yeah,
is.
Yeah, you had to grow up without parents, but I had to lose mine. It's not an argument that has nothing to it, but it is an argument you shouldn't make.
Yeah, for real. Anyways, Naruto is going to be completely dunked on over and over again. And he is going to finally try to mount a defense against Sasuke when Sasuke goes in for his first Chidori. His first Chidori barely gets deflected, and it goes through Naruto's right underneath his right shoulder. It goes directly through his body. Then because of this fatal injury, Naruto goes into his fox mode and activates his chakra for the first time from the fox demon that's sealed within him.
It's basically a berserker
and that's
rage.
When yeah, that's when this this fight goes into absolute batshit crazy awesome because Naruto is going to grab Sasuke's hand, basically bend it back until it almost breaks, and he's just like, I will break you into pieces if I have to take you home with me. That takes us into episode 133, A Plea from a Friend.
Yeah, this is the oops.
I have to take you guys back in time real quick. So I have to take you guys back in time real quick. So when I watched Naruto for the first time, I, number one, did not know that Shippuden was coming. Number two, was really far behind when this episode came out. So I was catching up. So when I was watching, I would start watching at like 6 or 7 o'clock when I would get home. And then I would watch until like 2 o'clock in the morning. So I would just watch way too many episodes in a row. And I got to this fight and I remember it vividly at like 2 a.m. And that was the episode where this started happening. And I was like, okay, I know I have a class at 7:30 in the morning. But also, I have to watch what's about to happen. And I did, and I didn't go to class the next morning because I watched this fight all the way through, and then I took it back and watched it all the way through again because it is astounding.
It's so good.
There are a lot of compilations of it on YouTube. If you have already watched this and you want to just watch it again in order, take a moment. Pause this episode, go watch it, and then come back. I'll give you a minute.
Yeah, we've talked about also Sakuga on this show, although I only learned the term recently, so most of the time we've talked about it, it is what that word means, which is a sudden increase. Well, no, it doesn't have to be sudden. It is a high-quality animation that has a lot of fluidity to it. It does not have to be sudden. Yeah. I would say things like Cowboy Bebop or Sakuga throughout. So yeah, the suddenness is not part of Sakuga. This is very sudden in Naruto. While the overall quality of Naruto has slowly increased over time because they continue to be successful and get more money that they could put into the project, the explosion of high quality, like very fluid motion in this episode is drastic, noticeable, and worth watching. It's episode 133, and you should watch it. So,
yes, because this episode starts with Naruto just beating the ever-living Christ out of Sasuke.
Yeah.
He is going to move way too fast for Sasuke to deal with him. At this point, Sasuke has dunked on Naruto so many times and even rubbed it in his face that he hasn't even used his Sharingan yet. So he is obviously too far ahead of Naruto for him to deal with. Naruto is going to then up the stakes. As a Dragon Ball Z fan would know, everybody is about to level up a couple of times until they reach their final forms. So Naruto is going to go to his second form, which is not his final form. Think of this as Kaioken. He's going to get to Super Saiyan in a minute. Just give him a second. he's going to completely go off on Sasuke. Sasuke gets to a point where he knows that he is not going to be able to keep up with this. And so he is finally going to release his Sharingan. He knows as well, though, that Naruto is using a lot of chakra, but he has no idea the depths to which his chakra wells go. So he knows if he gets into kind of like a battle of who can emit more chakra, he is probably going to lose that. So he needs to get the upper hand with a technique that doesn't expand a lot of chakra.
He's going to activate his Sharingan, and then his Sharingan is going to level up. If I'm remembering correctly, he is just completely unable to follow Naruto's movements. And then when he activates his Sharingan, he can kind of follow them, but not fast enough to react or prepare. And then his Sharingan levels up, which is, there are these little apostrophe marks on the Sharingan. And he goes from having two of them to three. And once that happens, he's able to keep track of Naruto. And I really loved this because I feel like it is a very subtle meta reinforcement of the concept of like working together to push each other, that sort of core idea of an anime rival or a shonen rival is that like we strive against one another and it makes us both stronger. And you see that happening in real time in this fight in a way that I don't think Naruto has had a lot in the past. Like, I don't remember major moments of powers manifesting in the moment in a way that felt really natural. Like, characters revealed powers that we had never seen before, but that weren't new to them. Whereas in this, these characters are learning a new way to use their powers in the moment without thinking about it or commenting on it. It just happens, and it's really nice.
Yeah. So the next moments that happen inside of the back and forth between the two of them is there's going to be some throwing of shade back and forth. Sasuke being like, you don't understand me at all. Naruto being like, I might not have had a father, but Uruka sensei was my father and you were my brother. You're still my brother and you're coming home with me. So he is going to continue to try to plead with Sasuke to bring him home.
He's also gonna repeat several times, at least three times throughout these episodes, the phrase, I will break all of your bones, all of the bones in your body, and drag you back to the village if I have to, which is real dramatic.
Yeah. So then it's going to get way, way, way worse for Naruto, and then way, way worse for Sasuke. So first, Naruto is going to get so beaten down by Sasuke's Sharingan technique that he is going to be trapped inside of a falling technique that we've seen before. If you've ever watched any WWE or WF, which is when you grab your opponent and you put them their head in between your legs and then you fall from, I don't know, maybe 60 stories to slam their head into a rock.
It's a ways.
He jumps off of a cliff holding Naruto and slams his head into the ground so hard his head must be caved in. But instead, he is going to just release Naruto and throw him into the water. And then we're going to slowly watch something take place that we have not completely seen before inside of the show, which I think it's called the Fox Shoal, if I'm correct. Fox Cloak. I wanted to say Shoal, just because I play a lot of Magic the Gathering. But the Fox Cloak is the manifestation in a physical form of the chakra that exists within Naruto because of the fox demon that lives within him.
Yeah, generally you can't see chakra. We can see it as an audience because it's stylized, but the characters can't see it unless they have an ability that lets them see it. And correct. Naruto's red fox chakra is, I believe, canonically visible, which makes it atypical and menacing for the characters around him. And I believe it kind of manifests as a sort of shell, which is also atypical to chakra.
Yeah, because it will also protect Naruto from attacks. We also see a great, great moment. I love every time they do this inside of Naruto's subconscious. The fox appears and he tells him that he's just like, you know, you're weak, I'm strong. If you really want to be able to save your friend and bring him back home, you're going to have to work with me, because otherwise you're going to lose and we're both going to die. And so we see Naruto give over to the fox, and it is fantastic. You were going to slowly see the chakra come up from underneath Naruto, and then he like bends upwards onto his legs first, and then falls forward. And you see a tail manifest in the chakra form, ears manifest. And when Naruto looks up, his face is turned from his normal face to those three lines on either side, becoming more menacing and crazy. His eyes coming in, turning into like slits in the center, and his teeth becoming longer and more beast-like.
So the battle is going to swing back in Naruto's favor here. Pretty significantly, although actually not for that long. He's going to get some very devastating attacks in, and what he lacks in an extended beat down here, he makes up for in techniques the likes of which we haven't really seen before. And part of that is the higher quality animation, but like there's one part where he's just like many yards away from Sasuke and he swipes his arm. And there's just like a wall of air that like faster than you can react covers the distance and hits Sasuke. And it's badass. And it just looks great. And he's just, it's not a long sequence of blows like the previous backs and forth they had, but it is a devastating sequence of blows. And it's going to drive Sasuke to taking things up another level on his end, which is to activate his curse seal. And again, the curse seal, it's a curse, so you have to know how to work with it and around it. It gives you extra power, but at a cost. And Sasuke has the seal, but he doesn't have any training or information on how to use it. So he kind of knows instinctively how to activate it, but he also knows that doing so can be detrimental to his health. It could injure him. It could even permanently injure him or kill him if he pushes himself too hard. So he's going to take a risk here, but he has to, or he's going to get the shit beaten out of him. So he activates the curse seal.
Yeah. Okay. So this leads into episode 134. The episode 134 is called The End of Tears. This episode, there's going to be a lot of back and forth between them clashing and remembering and also thinking about how they need to help each other, and also Naruto remembering that, like, if you're using this curse seal, it's going to slowly kill you.
It also changes what Sasuke looks like. Horribly
hurt you. Yeah. Sasuke is going to turn gray, number one. His hair is going to get longer, number two. He's going to get a weird little star shape in the middle of his eyes, number three. And what was the last one? Oh, giant wing-like hands sprouting from his back.
Yeah, they are disturbing to look at. I remembered them looking weird from when I was younger, but they are fucked up. Like, they are basically giant hands with webbing going all the way between each finger. And the webbing is made up of smaller fingers, and it's upsetting.
Yeah. So if you were wondering how this is going to end, if you've ever watched a anime before, think of Dragon Ball Z. There's going to be a moment where both of them are going to use their ultimate attacks on each other. They're going to hit each other at the same time. And that's basically how this fight is going to end. There's some good back and forth. Again, watch it if you haven't watched it. It's really fantastic. And in this moment where they strike each other, Sasuke is going to strike a blow in order to completely render Naruto unable to fight and trying to kill him. Naruto, on the other hand, is just trying to make a point. And the point that he makes when he strikes Sasuke is to strike through the seal on his forehead, of his head protector, and it's going to cut through the leaf, the Konohana leaf.
Yeah, this is a taunt that Sasuke made earlier that Naruto couldn't even land a scratch on his forehead. So Naruto does this to prove that he can. Sasuke is also going to pull his punch. They're both using their ultimate techniques, which is Sasuke's Chidori and Naruto's Rasengan. But they hit their techniques into each other, and then instead of moving the techniques and striking at each other, which more complicated than it sounds, but basically Sasuke like punches Naruto away, and Naruto slashes Sasuke's forehead, and they both choose to go for non-lethal attacks here in this last moment. But the collision of their ultimate attacks causes a huge energy explosion, which leaves Naruto incapacitated. And Sasuke is going to stand over him for a few seconds, and you're kind of like not sure if Sasuke is going to kill him. And then Sasuke leaves, and his headband is going to fall off and lay beside Naruto. So he has symbolically abandoned the village, which, you know, he already was doing, but here's the symbol for it. And Naruto is all about symbols. And he's gonna go, but he's pretty injured from using the cursed seal, so he just gets out of there before Kakashi arrives. And then we'll cut to Sasuke a little bit later, and he will think of himself talking to his brother, and his brother telling him to unlock the Mangekyo Sharingan, which is the powered up version that he does not yet have. The cost to do that is to kill your best friend, and Sasuke tells himself that he is not going to do what his brother tells him. He will obtain power in his own way. He's going to do this himself. And it's like his justification for not killing Naruto. And I think it's really interesting and complicated, because basically like he cares for Naruto deep down inside, and the idea of having to kill him to attain this power doesn't feel like it's worth it, but it's also what his whole life has bent toward. And so when he, in that moment, makes the decision not to land the fatal blow, I think he takes this moment that we see here to justify like not taking that fatal blow. It wasn't a mistake, and it wasn't a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength that like I can attain this power through taking the high road, essentially.
Yeah. We are going to also get a moment after Kakashi finds Naruto badly hurt. Naruto is having difficulty even waking up. We are going to have a brief moment where a weird man appears, and he is like, things are getting more interesting, and then he's going to disappear. And he's wearing one of those cloaks that we've seen before with Itachi's brother and Sharkface McGee.
Yeah.
It is a cloak that is worn by this group called the Akatsuki. They are a massively important plot point in Shippuden. And we will get to more about them after we finish our coverage of Naruto.
Yeah.
This leads into episode 135, The Promise That Could Not Be Kept. This one is gonna be like 2 points.
It's all denouement setup. So this is all everything that's just happened, figuring out where everybody lands after that, and setting up for the 3-year time jump between Naruto and Naruto Shippuden. So everybody on Naruto's team has made their way back to Konoha. They are all injured. They are all in the hospital, and they all pull through. That's about all there is to it. There's different scenes that expand on that, but that's pretty much what it comes to. When Naruto becomes a conscious again, Sakura is there. And Sakura, again, was the third person of the team, Naruto, Sakura, and Sasuke. And when Sasuke left, it hurt her very, very deeply. And Naruto promised to bring Sasuke back. And now he is back and Sasuke is not with him. And he basically apologizes to her over and over again. Like, I'm sorry, I couldn't keep my promise. And she's like, no, it's fine. You tried. And Naruto basically is like, look, I'm not going to give up on this. My whole deal is that when I make a promise, I follow through on it. And this is going to be the promise that I will keep picking at until I get it. And that is true.
The only other thing that is going to be very, very important that we are going to find out is that Sasuke is going to arrive with Orochimaru. He is going to officially join Orochimaru inside of his lair. And the last moment is we find out that Akatsuki is assembled and their plans are menacing.
Yeah, one last thing is that Jiraiya shows up. And
I thought you already mentioned that.
Huh? No. Jiraiya shows up and he tells Naruto that they are going to leave the village for 3 years to train. And Naruto is like, no, I made a promise. I have to go after Sasuke. And Jiraiya tells him, one, you have to train or you're not going to be successful. Two, Orochimaru, because of the way that you guys delayed Sasuke leaving the village, Orochimaru had to do his body swap early with somebody else. So he was not able to take over Sasuke's body, and there is a cooldown period, essentially, on that jutsu, so he will not be able to try again for 3 more years. So you've got 3 years before you have to get Sasuke back, and you need to spend that training with me. And Naruto's like, okay, I will train with you, and we will leave as soon as I'm able to get out of this bed, and that is what they do.
Yep. And so that is going to finish our coverage of the original Naruto. We will be picking up on Shippuden when we next come back to our Naruto coverage. But stick with us and find out what we're talking about next week.
Blake and Spencer Get Jumped is made by Forever Summer Productions,
with sound editing done by Rashad English of Plain English Productions.
He's our level 6 sound wizard.
Level up. Our podcast is ad-free, and we want to keep it that way. If you want to keep it that way, too, please consider supporting us on Patreon.
Follow us on Twitter at @BNSGetJumped.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BlakeAndSpencerGetJumped.
Or talk to us on Reddit at reddit.com/r/GetJumped.
If you like the show, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. Reviews help other listeners find our show.
New episodes come out every Sunday
on iTunes,
Google Play,
Stitcher,
Buzzsprout,
or wherever you get your podcasts from.
And hey, thanks for listening.
Next time on Blake and Spencer Get Jumped, we're covering Yu Yu Hakusho episodes 14 through 17, where there are 4 beasts in the castle, and they're going to fight against several of them.
One of them's a stone turtle.
That's
right. You'll get caught up in the stone turtle. Stone turtle! Hooah. You remember that commercial for Crossfire?
Sure don't. Do you think stone turtle is like a cousin of rock lobster?
I mean, either that or paper tiger.
Yeah, that makes sense.